Tonight, I'm going to tell you, now this is hard to find, so I'm going to give you a few minutes to find it. John 3:16. Amen. You know the verse. For God, so loved the world. Boy, I could preach on that he gave his only begotten son. That he gave his only begotten son. Now, we always talk about that, but did you know, and I use this just as a stepping stone because I really couldn't find the verse that would do it justice, but did you know that not only did God give his son to us, but he gave his son some things too? So I want to talk to you tonight about the gifts that God gave his son. God gave his son gifts. What has God given Christ? Not what has he given in Christ, but what has he given Christ? Now, when you talk about his son, you have to say it always in present tense because he's undying and ever living. So, turn to John chapter 3, verse 35. John chapter 3, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He has given all things into his hand. Now, you say, well, what did God give Jesus Christ? All things. He loved his son, and he gave him all things. Turn to Matthew 11:27 for another verse on that. Matthew 11:27. It's Wednesday night Bible study. It won't hurt you to thumb through your pages a little bit there. You could even do it on your app if you wanted to cheat. Matthew 11:27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. You see that? All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Now, a lot of people throw that word Lord around. They talk about the Lord, but they really don't know what that means. That means he's Lord of all. He's master. He's the owner. You see, in the medieval times, the guy that lived in the castle, the Duke, you know, the Duke of Earl, y'all want me to sing that? The Duke, y'all don't hurt my feelings, I won't never come back to this church. The Duke lived in that big castle because he inherited a bunch of property in that castle from his ancestors. And he would rent out the property around that castle to other people. They'd be like sharecroppers. And they would grow things or cattle or pigs or goats or corn or wheat or whatever. And when they sold it, they had to give him a big portion of that because he owned everything. You know what they called him? Lord. He was their Lord. That's where we get the word landlord from. Landlord. He owns it all. Now, you might rent it, but it don't belong to you. You might even sharecrop it. That's all we do to planet Earth. God lets us sharecrop this place. That's all he does. He lets us have a little old corner of it, and he lets us use it, and we suppose we're turning a tithe on it. Amen. You don't think of things like that, do you? Because he is the landlord. He owns it all. Dr. Jack Hyle said he was one of my heroes. He said he got on a plane one time to fly somewhere, and he sat in his seat beside this highfalutin lady, you know, with the pearls and the jewelry and the fancy clothes. And so he sat over and tried to read his Bible, and said, she interrupted him and said, who are you? He said, I ain't nobody. And she said, what do you do? He said, I don't do much of nothing. She said, well, what are you doing on this plane? He said, my father owns it. She said, your father owns this plane? He said, yeah. Matter of fact, he owns the whole airline, American Airlines. Your father owns American Airlines? Yeah. And he owns Delta, and he owns Southwestern. Your father must be rich. He said, lady, you don't know. He owns it all. She said, "Who's your father?" He said, "God." She got mad at him. But it's the truth. It's the truth. People say, "Well, I worked and I worked hard and I paid for this." No, God gave you the strength and let you live there. That's all. I got a house over there. I better not say it out loud. We put this on the internet. Somebody might come firebomb me. But I got a house. Me and my wife, we thought we had it paid off. And did you know every year the government sends us a bill that we owe more money on it? They call it taxes. She said, "We don't own this. We just we're maintenance people. The government lets us keep it up. It belongs to them. But really it belongs to the Lord. All of it belongs to Him. That's why we say Lord." See, God put it all in His hands. That's what it said. That's what Scripture's saying. He said He gave Him all things. So that means everything that ever existed, the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Appalachians, the Rockies, the Himalayas, the stars, the moon, the sun, Jupiter, Mars, anything else you can name that was created and given to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that makes me feel good. See, He owns it all. Now He lets me drive this car. He gave me the money to make payments, you know, pay it off. He lets me live in a house, but He gave me the money to pay for it. So who am I not to call Him Lord?
Amen.
Amen? If you lived in medieval times and you looked at that duke and you didn't call him Lord, he'd kick you off the property. Wouldn't that be something if God just started kicking people off the property that didn't recognize him as Lord? Jesus said, "Few there be that find it." Amen? All right. God put all things into the hands of Jesus Christ. That's why I don't worry about some things. I don't worry about the Koreans having a nuclear bomb. I'm glad we got a president that will stand up to the Rocket Man. I'm glad we got one that called him the Rocket Man. I'm glad it made the guy mad, and I'm glad we got a president that don't care if it made him mad or not. He don't recognize my God. That little fat boy don't recognize my God. Amen? He's a stinking communist. He don't recognize our Lord. And our Lord owns the property that He's sitting on. He's done stole it from our Lord. Amen? But one day the Lord's going to get it back. Amen? Amen. God put all things into the hand. Now, John chapter 5, verse 26. John chapter 5, look at verse 26. "For as the Father hath life in Himself," talking about God the Father has life in Himself, "so hath He given to the Son," S-O-N, "to have life in Himself." So what is He talking about? Now when He's saying the Father has life in Himself, He means He is the originator of life. He is the origin of all life. He's the creator and sustainer of all life. Some people don't take life very seriously, but I've got news for you. You will one day.
Amen.
And God gave you that life. And God can take it away from you. Your mom ever looked at you and said, "Boy, I brought you in this world, I can take you out." I know yours did. My mama did. She said, "Boy, I birthed you, I can kill you." But you know, really, God gave that life. You see, when you were born, God put life in you before you were ever born. He said, "Before you were ever in your mother's womb, I knew you." God already had life planned for you already. He was going to put it in that little body and that you were going to belong to Him. Now, you go ahead and ignore Him if you want to, but one day He's going to call your ticket.
Amen.
Amen. It's appointed unto man once to die, and you're going to stand before the holy God that gave you that life and give account for what you did with the life that He gave to you that originated in His bosom.
Amen.
You remember what He said about Adam and Eve? He breathed into him He breathed into him. And Eve, y'all know the story about Eve, don't you? You remember Adam, the Bible says he'd walk around there, didn't have nothing but cats and dogs and lions and tigers and bears, and he was lonely. And the Lord said, man's lonely. I need to make him help me. So he made him a woman. The Bible says he made him a woman. And he put Adam into a deep sleep. And he took one of his ribs out. And he put in that, made a woman out of one rib. And then he woke up Adam. He said, Adam, look over here what I got for you. And he woke up, looked over there, and he said, whoa, man. That's how she got the name woman. Whoa, man. Y'all don't know. Wanda, that's number 43. Whoa, man. That's what I said the first time I saw my wife walking down that hall. I said, whoa, man. But he's the originator of life. He gives life. Let me tell you something. That stinking fly that irritates the death out of me and you, God put life in that fly. Yeah, he did. Those fire ants that we hate that came straight out of hell. That's why they're so hot. They dug their way up out of hell. They're on fire, man. God put life in all of those multiple billions of those things that exist. Amen? He is the originator of life. Now, God did that, and then God the Son was born, and he grew up, and as he was growing, God took that authority and gave it to his son. That's a gift he gave to his son. And he said, I can give life and I can take it away. Amen? Amen. He walked over at Lazarus' tomb one day and they said, Lord, there ain't no hope for Lazarus. He'd been dead 4 days. He stinketh. He's rotten and he's decaying. He said, roll that stone back. He walked over and said, Lazarus, come forth. And life went back into that rotten corpse and regenerated that flesh and regenerated those organs that had turned into fluid probably and had regenerated that dead man, and he got up and walked out with the skin of a little baby, man. He was like being born all over. Now, he had the authority to do that. And if he'd walked over and just said, come out, every dead person in there would have walked out. He called him by name so all of them wouldn't get up. But one day he's going to call and they're all going to get up. Amen? Amen. Amen. He has the authority to do that. God gave him that life. And people say, who do you think your Jesus is? I think he is the originator and sustainer of all life. And if you don't watch out, old boy, he might just pull that breath out of you. Amen? Boy, people are so... We need to teach our children to be more reverential about the life that Jesus Christ has given us. Well, when he was young, we were bulletproof. We thought we were invincible. We thought we were immortal. And now we're paying for it. That's sunshine right there. That's California sunshine right there. This is South Carolina sunshine. You know, the teenagers used to gather out at the dam. There's a big place on this side of the dam. It's just grass like this. When we were teenagers, would gather out there and lay out in the grass, you know, and there'd be hundreds and hundreds of them. Me and my wife was out there one time when we was teenagers, and some of her friends came up, and it was everybody's goal to get as dark as they could. That was their goal, you know. And so when you go to the beach, you look like you live there. That's what I was fixing to say. When you get old, this is what it turned into. But she had a friend that come up and had some transmission fluid. He said, we're going to get tanned good with this. I saw him a couple of days later. He was blistered. He had third-degree burns, man. That sun magnified the sun. I guarantee he got skin cancer, amen? But he was invincible. He was messing with the life that God gave him, and he had no thought of how it was going to end up because he had no thought of God, the originator. I better go on. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. You still with me? Say amen when you get there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that word quick, remember, means alive, and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Did you know that God gave a gift of judgment to the Lord Jesus Christ? Nobody else has the authority to judge anybody. Now, we can judge actions. We can judge a lot of things. You really can't judge intentions. You don't know somebody's heart. But we can't say who goes to heaven and hell. Only Jesus Christ gets to do that. You might have told them that a lot when you was lost and going there. But you don't have the authority to tell anybody to go to hell. Amen? Because, see, the judgment's not in your hands. And listen, we'll be glad the judgment is only in Jesus Christ's hands, because there's a lot of people that cast us off a long time ago. Many of them told me where to go. Amen? All those years, you know, working around people said that's Christians, and I never had a Christian get mad at me and say, oh, I want you to go to heaven. They always told me to go the other direction. And they don't have the authority to judge that, see. Now, I know without Christ, you'll go to hell. But I don't have the authority to tell them that they're going to hell. All I've got the authority to tell them is, without Christ, you'll go to hell. In the end, it's not my judgment, it's His. Now, I know the judgment's already been made, see, because of what they do here on earth. I've already been judged. I'm judged on the cross. I received that judgment. Now I'm free. Amen. Now I took the judgment that He took on the cross. I said, well, I'll let Him take my judgment so I don't have to. But people still have the right. They can say, I don't want that. I'm going to try it on my own. And then Jesus Christ Himself would have to say, by the authority given to me, you'll be cast into hell if that's the way you think you're going to heaven. That's sad. That's sad. And there's people going to churches every Sunday that don't realize that Jesus Christ has the authority to judge them and send them to a devil's hell. Amen? He also has the authority to judge what we do in our lives, whether right or wrong. Now, we can justify anything. You can justify anything. We do. We justify. I got mad at this old guy driving the other day, and I got so mad I blew the horn and said, well, get off the road! And when I got through, I said, well, he didn't hear me. But the point being, we have no authority to judge in any matter. The Word of God can do it, but guess who the author of that is? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, so God gave him that gift. God gave him all things into his hand. And then he gave the life. Now, we're talking about all life. He put it into the hands. You remember that song we used to sing when we was kids? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. I don't know all of that song, but I know he's got the whole world in his hands. Got me and you, baby, or something in his hands. Me, you and me, brother, yeah. But anyway, it's true. And we'll teach our children that. He's got the authority over all life, all things, all judgment. And then John 5:36. I told that doctor, I said, I want you to make me look like Clint Eastwood. He's ruined. He said, which genre do you want him when he worked on the cattle drive thing? Rawhide? That's when he was handsome.
Oh, I didn't know that was a choice.
Yeah. Or do you want to look like him now? I said, no, I don't want to look like him now. But I told him that again the other day. And here's what he said. He said, I don't have the ability nor the authority to do that. But look at John chapter 5, verse 36, if you will. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Now, he said, notice that middle of that, which the Father hath given me to finish. The works which the Father hath given me to finish. Now, there's some things that the Lord Jesus Christ finished in his earthly ministry, and there's some things he finished there on the cross, but there's yet some things that are to be finished. And God gave him every bit of that, and he said, greater works. I like to say this, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. They laugh at us now. They ain't seen nothing yet. They mock us now. They ain't seen nothing yet. They make fun of us, call us ignorant. They ain't seen nothing yet. There's greater works than these coming. Amen? And thank God, by faith, one day Jesus is coming back. He's going to split that eastern sky. He's going to raise the dead in Christ first. Then he's going to raise us and change us which are alive. And we'll be caught up together in the clouds. And we'll be up there 7 years while he just opens up hell itself on planet earth and lets the demons out and the locusts out and the antichrist and the false prophet and the beast. And for 7 years we're going to be up there celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb while hell on earth be going on down here. And listen, he's in charge of both of those. The devil has nothing to do with either one of them. He's in charge of both of those. And then at the end of that 7 years, he's going to say, okay, supper's over, mount up. Mount up. And we're all going to get on our white horses. And we're going to come back down through that sky. And he's going to destroy the old Antichrist and the false prophet and the beast. And he's going to rule the world for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. And we're going to rule and reign with him. Amen? You ain't seen nothing yet. Well, y'all poor old Christians, y'all can't do nothing. All you get to do is go to church. Said you go to church Sunday morning. You go to church Sunday night. You go to church Wednesday night. You have them old revival meetings. You have prayer meetings. Y'all just don't get to have no fun. You can't drink liquor. You can't smoke dope. You can't fornicate. You can't run around here and be homos, you know, and all this stuff. You can't go to the party. And boy, we having a good time. Y'all Christians just suffering. I said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. I said, you ain't never been to a party like the one I'm going to. Amen. I said, the one that you go to is going to bring death, hell, and the grave. The one I'm going to is going to lift me up. Amen. And I'm going to rule and reign with them for 1,000 years. Greater works than these. That's what God gave him. That's what he said. Now, I believe that he healed the sick. I know he did. I believe he gave sight to the blind. I know he did. And hearing to the deaf. I know he did. I know he cast out devils. I know he did. I know he healed those who were sick of palsy. I know he did. I know he raised the dead. I know he did. It's written. It's written. And that's just as true as anything else that's ever been written in there. And it's true. And those are wonderful, great words. Those are words we can't do. But you ain't seen nothing yet. I know that he lived a sinless life we can't live. I know he died in the sinner's place on the cross in a greater love than we'll ever know. And I know he raised himself. He raised himself out of that grave 3 days later and 3 nights later. He did that all his own great works, but you ain't seen nothing yet. There's bigger works and greater works than that coming. And God gave that to him. Amen? Go ahead and laugh at him while you can. You won't be laughing much longer. Amen? Amen. Make fun of me now. Amen. Because you ain't going to be making fun of me when I'm ruling with him with a rod of iron. Amen. Amen. I better go on. Listen, he gave him all things in his hand. He gave him life. He gave him judgment. He gave him great works and greater works to come and greater works to finish. Now turn to John 17. John chapter 17. John 17, look at verse 24. John 17. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And John 3:16 is good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But the Son is saying here, God, give me the glory that I've had with you before the world's ever made.
Amen.
Amen? Because you love me. That's what he was saying. You love me. I think it's verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest me them me, and now have they kept thy word. Now look at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Look at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Did you know that God gave souls for glory to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
You see, you didn't just wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'm just going to get saved.
Right.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. God did that.
Yeah.
God put that on you. You never even had, that never even occurred to me to get saved. That's not something I thought about, getting saved. That's not something, until God began to put that in me. We call it Holy Ghost conviction. And God began to draw me. And when God drew me, and then he saved me, he turned right around and said, here you go, son, here's another one you can have. He gave me to Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Boy, I hear people testify sometimes, you know, they'll get up and they'll say, well, you know, I drank a gallon of liquor every day and I wouldn't work and I beat my wife and I abused my children and I wouldn't pay my debts. And one day I got up and said, I'm going to that church and I'm going to get saved. No, you didn't. You might have done that, but if you did, you probably ain't saved. God gave you to Jesus Christ. You didn't give you to Jesus Christ. You didn't make that decision. And I hate it when people say you didn't make a decision. You didn't make that decision. God put that in you and drew you. He said, no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. It shocked you how many people go to church and never been drawn by the Holy Ghost of God. And they think they're going to heaven. They've never been born again, never been saved. See, when you got saved, you wasn't worth much. I don't care how big a house you lived in. Don't care what your bank account was like or who your mama was or daddy was or grandma or grandpa. It doesn't matter about all that. When you got saved, you were just a sinner. Firewood for hell. Not fit to live and too sorry to kill. I don't care what you thought about yourself. It was all sin. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. But God one day sent the Holy Ghost, the old sheriff. He sent the sheriff down there to get you. And he said, go draw that great gal right there. I think she'd be a good one for my son. And then he began to draw you. And everywhere you turned around, you saw God doing things. And everywhere, everybody talked, you heard something about the Lord and something about your sin. Man, I'd watch TV programs, start crying, and it wouldn't have nothing to do with sin, but I felt like God was talking to me through that stupid television program. It's a Wonderful Life. I still cry on that one, but before I was saved, I'd cry on that. I'd say, man, that's me right there, that's me. And God drew us. God drew us. And then he saved us. And look, now he's glorifying us. He's setting us apart. He's changing us. He's molding us. He's making us. And then one day, listen, he gave us to his son. He said, here you go, son. Take this one, old dirty lump of coal, and make a diamond out of this one. And then when we get to heaven, the son's going to look at the father and say, Father, look what I brought to you, what you gave to me. Now look what I did with it. He's going to present us back to the father. Ain't that something? That's enough to make a Presbyterian nod. That's enough to make a Methodist wake up. It's enough to make an usher that sits on the back row that sleeps during my preaching to wake up. Amen? At least he ain't like Goober at Eastside Baptist Church. The preacher was preaching something about people going to hell. Wasn't nobody supposed to say amen right there? And Goober woke up in the choir. He sat right back there every Sunday. Slept every Sunday during the sermon. And the preacher said something. He woke up and said, amen! People didn't say amen in that church. It wasn't 2 men that said amen. And it wasn't at the time you ought to said amen anyway. But you know what? God's going to take that old lump of coal. He's going to hand it to the Jesus Christ. He's going to say, look what I got you, boy. Here you go. And he's going to take it and mold it and make it, conform it to his image, transform it. And he's going to make it look like a diamond. Then when the trumpet sounds and we go through the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to turn that old lump of coal, and there it is, a diamond, saying, Father, look what I did with that lump of coal you gave me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. They said we was white trash. They said it wouldn't never amount to nothing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Some of y'all will catch on. Last but not least, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Talks about immortality. Talks about incorruptibility. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. He's going to turn around and give every bit of it back to the Father. He's going to fix it. He's going to straighten it up. He's going to conform it. He's going to transform it. He's going to make it the whole world and everything in it and everybody in it. And boy, he's going to fix all that stuff. And then he's going to turn right around and give it back to the Father, it says, from where it came.
Amen.
Now, God gave the Lord Jesus Christ everything. And then in the end, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give him everything. You know, we get all these pictures of heaven, but here's what it comes down to. Jesus Christ has the right and the authority to reign on heaven, on earth and in heaven as Lord, owner, master, King of kings, Lord of lords. You understand what I'm saying? He has the authority to rule this thing. And one day he's going to rule it all. One day he's going to rule it all. And he has that right. God gave him that right. And it doesn't matter what the Congress votes next week. It doesn't matter what the Senate votes. It doesn't matter what the ACLU says. It doesn't matter what Kim Jong-sung, whatever the fat boy's name is, Rocket Man says. It doesn't matter what the president says. It all belongs to him.
Amen.
Yep. You say, preacher, things getting bad. He sees it. But pastor, aren't you worried about the bomb? Not one bit. It ain't even in the book. I ain't worried about it. Hey, the worst thing he can do is drop a bomb and kill a few hundred thousand of us and we wake up in heaven anyway. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not worried about it. Well, but did you hear about that law? That new law that they passed, hate speech and all that, they've hated everything we ever said from the beginning. Why does that upset you? Well, did you hear about that new law? They said that if preachers preach against the government, they're going to lose their tax-exempt status. They're going to put them in jail. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. I got a deep theological answer for every bit of that. They don't know who's really in control, man. I get concerned about things. I'm concerned about my grandchildren, what they got to grow up in. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about children that come to this church. I'm concerned about, are they going to grow up to be the right kind of Christians to take over this church? And then what are they going to face when they do that? I'm concerned. Not worried. I'm not worried about it. I'm concerned about it. And I know it's in His hands, though. In the end, every bit of it is in His hands. You know, there's a lot of believers in China. Millions and millions and millions of believers on Christ. And unless you go to a state church, this gets a lot of good church. The state has their little preachers, you know, and they own them. And so they have a lot of house churches. God's got some children in China. Yeah. He's got some in North Korea. Rocket Man don't know who they are. But He's got some. He's got some in Russia. Matter of fact, there's been a great revival of believers in Russia since the communism fell. I don't know. Putin claims to be one himself. I don't know if he and I would agree on what a root Christian is, but he claims to be one. Our president might not know what 1 Corinthians is. He might say 1 Corinthians, but still, the old boy says he's a believer, you know. They're doing. Look, I'm not worried about those things. You know what I'm worried about? Keeping people out of a devil's hell. Here's how you change society. Win one person at a time. Win one person at a time. Now, God bless people like Billy Graham and all those that had the mass evangelism, but you know those things really didn't change our country. They didn't. A lot of people made professions of faith, but the churches didn't get filled up with those people. A lot of them never even went to church. And I know you know some probably did, but a lot of those people, the multiple thousands of people, those mass crusades of people like Graham and others, if all those people really got born again, man, they'd have been shutting down liquor stores and bars and all kinds of stuff, but that never happened. God's way is the local New Testament church winning them one by one and discipling them one by one. You get that old boy saved, he'll get off of dope. You get that old boy saved, he'll quit selling dope. You get that old gal saved, she won't be an exotic dancer anymore. Hey, the secret's not carrying signs and having protests and having all kind of political movements. The secret is, realize it's all in His hands. And you win them one at a time. Let Him take care of the big picture. Amen. Amen? It's Christmas, so why don't we give the Lord something? Amen. I mean, if He's really our Lord, why don't we present our bodies a living sacrifice? Why don't we do that? Why don't we not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God? Why don't we do that? Somebody called the other day and said, do y'all give away presents? And I've had it on Facebook. Do y'all give away presents for Christmas? I said, no, ma'am. We don't do that. I said, it ain't about presents. It's about the present, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I said, now, if you'll come to church and bring your kids, I'm sure somebody will have a little compassion on you and help you. We may as a church. I said, but we don't just deliver toys. We're not Santa Claus. We deliver the gospel. Which is better than toys. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you. It's all in your hands.